You ever want a little variety? A little change? You want things to be different? You get bored sometimes when everything is just always the same. You ever notice that we end our prayers always the same? And you ever think it gets boring? Every prayer we end saying, Amen. Is that boring? Or maybe you didn't even pay attention enough to realize it was boring. Sometimes things are the same all the time, but you don't even pay attention, so you don't even notice. And sometimes, when you do notice, we wonder, why do we do this? It's always the same. Well, sometimes we do things that are always the same for very, very, very good reason. And that is especially true as our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray, and why we ought to close and end every prayer with one word. And maybe, boys and girls, it's a strange word. Maybe it's a word you only say when you pray. Or maybe it's a word you only hear when somebody else prays. That word is Amen. Amen. It's a word that means truly, so let it be. It highlights that something is certain. Amen. And that is why we ought to pray the word Amen after every prayer. We ought to pray Amen after every prayer because that's how we're taught to pray by God Himself. That's how we're taught to pray by God Himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Eternal Son, wants us to pray Amen. The whole Lord's Prayer, we could say, in all its fullness and all its richness and all its depth that we've considered, moves and flows and a pattern of absolute surety because of the sovereign God whose name we call upon as a heavenly Father. And it ends with a word of confidence, a word of assurance, a word of faith, a word of truth, Amen. It's the end of what we call the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just the fact Jesus himself wants us to pray like this should be enough. Here is the great shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, who sacrifices and suffers for the likes of us like we considered together this morning. And he says, when you pray, when you call upon the Father, say Amen. Say true. Say sure. Say absolutely. The Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes that so strongly, it even moves beyond the experience and desires of our own hearts. You might say the Heidelberg Catechism is so experiential here, it pushes beyond our experience to something more sure, the Word of God itself. Page 87 in the back of your Psalters, what doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be for this grounds. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. More than you need what you're asking for. Whether that is your daily food, whether that is the forgiveness of your sins, whether that is comfort or help in the time of pain or trouble, whether that is ecstatic praise in the midst of rejoicing, more than you feel it, more than you desire it, more than you want it, He hears it. He hears it. He's a heavenly Father listening, who will work all things together for His own glory and your good. Jesus wants us to pray this way. He wants us to pray this way. And so we ought. But is that why we do it? Do we say Amen just because that's what we've heard? Is it just a strange word that we say after we bring our request to God? Or as Jesus would like us to, is it said with conviction? With the reality of experience the Heidelberg Catechism highlights? to know that God will hear, to know that God will take care, to know that you're not alone in this, and that a heavenly Father will not only hear, but in so hearing, act. We could say further, we ought to pray this way because we are taught not only by the Lord Jesus, God the Son, but also by the Father. We ought not mistake that the Heavenly Father wants us to pray this way too. Sometimes in people's thinking, they separate the Father and the Son. They somehow think God the Father is out there cold and aloof, and Jesus, who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, God and man who suffered for us, that somehow or another the Son has to bend the will of the Father to hear us. That the Son has to persuade God the Father, who is cold and distant, to show love and warmth to us. But that is not true. We could take some time and go through the book of Romans and see how it is the Father's love for the likes of us that is the reason why the Son was sent. And our Lord Jesus and everything He said and everything He did, He always emphasized, this isn't from me. This is from my Father. John chapter 8, verse 38. The Lord Jesus says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. I tell you what my Father has shown me. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. He's drawing a contrast between those who follow Jesus, who follow the Father as Jesus reveals the Father to them, and those who have the devil for their father and do the things of selfishness and hypocrisy, even though it be in the name of religion. But then again in John chapter 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus didn't want to send any message Jesus had. Jesus wanted to send the message His Father gave Him. That was His message. When you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, you are praying according to the commandment of Jesus and according to the Father. When you pray, Amen, truly so may it be, out of a conviction that the Spirit would work, that He so surely hears more than you even desire it, you are not only obeying the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, but of the Heavenly Father. This blessed twofold emphasis that we ought to pray, Amen, as we are taught by God, not only God the Son, but God the Father, should comfort us and strengthen us, because it is sure, it is true. To use the language of one of the passages we read from 1 Corinthians for our Bible reading, as our Lord Jesus tells us through the lips of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God in Him are yea, or yes, and in Him, amen, or truly so, unto the glory of God by us. And notice how Paul's exhortation here, in the surety of the promise, of all the promises made sure by Christ, are to God's glory. Notice how closely that parallels the flow of the Lord's Prayer. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, he tells us in Matthew 6, verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then again, this beautiful conclusion to this prayer, which sadly so many today let slip through their fingers, not rightly esteeming its place in the Word of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. all the things we would need, all the things we would ask for, all our heart's desire we so keenly feel more surely heard and taken care of by a loving Heavenly Father who teaches us to pray. So we would come to Him, to use the language of the book of Hebrews, in a full assurance of faith, not wavering, not saying anything about our own standing before God in that assurance, but our assurance of Him. And thus, not only should we pray as taught by God, but congregation, this is essential that the church teach this as well. It's essential the church teach this as well. When the church is in the business of teaching, we are not in the business of teaching the words of men. We are in the business of proclaiming the word of God. That is why our Lord Jesus has called the church, when she teaches, Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or disciple all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. In light of that commission, it's no accident, as the Word of God was revived at the Reformation. And maybe even in our homes, what things do we teach our children? The Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, basic summaries of Christian teaching and life. Everywhere the Scriptures have gone, everywhere the Word of God is established, we teach people to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Not bringing our own prayers, not bringing our own words, not bringing our own approaches, but that of the Father, that given to us by the Son. To call upon a Heavenly Father, trusting Him for all that we need, couching and resting everything in His glory, knowing everything is yea and amen, sure in that. That's one of the reasons we teach through the Heidelberg Catechism, not to teach as words of men, but to make sure we don't sacrifice any part of God's word. But we ought to be taught to pray amen, and we ought to pray amen, not only because we are taught by God the Son and God the Father, not only because the church must teach this, but because parents must too. Because parents must too. Maybe some of you have felt that lack of teaching in your life. You went to church, and maybe you heard sermons on this very Lord's Day. Maybe you heard sermons about the importance of that little word, amen. But maybe some of you never heard it at home. Your parents never spoke out loud to pray. Or maybe when they taught you to pray, they said these words, but without any of the assurance, without any of the hope, without any of the faith. And you had to be taught another way, by loved ones, by friends, in other contexts, as the Spirit worked and applied the word in your heart and mind. We began to understand the surety of the promises of grace in Christ, the freedom of calling upon God as a Heavenly Father according to His command. And that's the type of things that we must teach our children. Fathers, they must hear us pray. Mothers, they must hear you pray. Older brothers, older sisters, they must hear you pray. Aunts and uncles, they must hear you pray. Grandparents, they must hear you pray. You are commanded to pray. You are commanded to call upon the Father in Jesus' name. And you are commanded to trust and believe, not because of the sincerity of the desires of your heart, but because He is a God who hears, because He is a God who answers prayer, because He is a God that has made all requests and all His great purposes that He would work in you. Yea and amen. We must pray. If we will not teach our children kneeling by their bedsides, around our dinner tables, in the midst of the troubles and crises we face as families, if we will not, in the context of family worship, teach them to pray, how will they learn? Who will teach them? If you think my preaching will do it twice a Sunday, I am immensely flattered, but that's impossible. If you think family visits once a year with elders and deacons will do it, again, what a tremendous confidence you place in us. And that is an encouragement, but you are mistaken. Teachers at school cannot do it. They can do their best, but they see them for an hour a day. They pray at the beginning and the end of classes. It must be in our homes. Our homes must be our spiritual schools. Our homes must be our little churches. And we must be the ones teaching them to pray. But maybe you think, I don't know how to pray. I was never taught how to pray myself. I don't know how. I don't sound good when I pray. I sound horrible. Or maybe you think, I'm proud of the way I pray, and I think I sound good when I pray. Our hearts are so deceitful. The devil comes after us every way. Well, as Pastor Niels would say, tell God about it and throw you back to prayer in the very midst of that thing by which you think would be your greatest trouble. Go to God in prayer. Go to the Lord Jesus. In the parallel passage from the Gospel of Luke we considered together, his own disciples said, teach us to pray, and he taught them. He is still teaching us, giving us the words of the Father, study the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know what to say starting to pray, teach your children the Lord's Prayer. Start somewhere. Move forward. And what better place than the model prayer? Prayer is something no one is good at. Prayer is something we all struggle with. By nature, it's not something we do. According to as we are due to sin, no one wants to call God Father. Because as sinners, we understand what that would mean. So we run to him rather than go to him. But rather, as he commands us, come to him in the name of Jesus to find our hope and our encouragement and our surety, not in the sounds of our words, not in the beauties of our petitions, not in the sincerity of our convictions, but in the fullness of the glories of his great being and the beauty of Christ's work. It must be taught by God. It must be worked by the Spirit, proclaimed by the church, and practiced in households. We ought truly to pray, Amen. But not only, we could say, because we are taught to do so, should we. We ought to do it because it is true. Because it is true. It is simply true. And it is true because of God. It is true because of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, where we read that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, in the context reviewing the oath God takes, making sure his covenant, that we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And by way of extension throughout the scriptures, the hope of God in Christ through prayer, calling upon the name of the Father for the sake of the instruction and work of the Son. To know an amen is not a vain, empty word, not an echoed repetition, but a true resting in hope and in faith that God will hear, that God will work. Not about anything in us. We may say amen all the time, but for good reason. Because it's true. Because God is no liar. And when we call upon the Father, we can be sure he will hear. But also because of the very Lord's Prayer. The very Lord's Prayer, we could say, demands an amen. It demands a true. How could one pray this prayer? And by extension, how could any of us truly pray at all without confidence? Rightly understood, so often the confusion of our minds, the darkness of our own hearts gets in the way. The bigness of the circumstance, the largeness of the trouble, our own weaknesses and frailties. But compared to the power, beauty, and honor of God set before us, how could there be anything but a trusting in Him when this prayer is prayed in truth? Follow through with me again as we review, as it were, every sermon we've heard on the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father which art in heaven, a loving heavenly Father, like a daddy who listens to the cries of his children and wants to scoop them up in his lap to comfort them and to hear them. Our Father which art in heaven, our Father which is all powerful, who spoke and the heavens came to be. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Immediately drawn to comfort and intimacy with God, the Lord Jesus wants us to do and be. To come into him as our God and the one who will help us. To remember he is Jehovah, the I Am, the covenant God, ready to save sinners who call upon him. Hallowed be thy name. Immediately as we are drawn to him, the emphasis is not on us, but on him. So he would be big to us. So he would be great to us. Not our convictions, not our feelings, not our problems, not our struggles, not our weaknesses, but he would be big. That he would be hallowed. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, his rule, his reign, his power. Not my fears, not my doubts, not my enemies, not myself, him. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, surrendering all to him, sacrificing all to him, to put it another way, leaving it all to him, letting him take care of it, trusting him to do what is right, as freely as a child would come and bring a broken toy and say, fix it. It's amazing. How warm, how clear, how intimate, how humbling, and how big our Lord Jesus makes God here before our eyes of faith. And as we approach him thus, we continue. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need for now, right now. Help me not to worry about the future, but to trust thee for what I need. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Out of a sense of the forgiveness that thou would give me for Jesus' sake, though I am unworthy, teach me to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Surrendering all to him, asking him to be our protector, our keeper, the guarder of our hearts. Realizing we are weak and cannot resist the evil one on our own, but need him. And as we have been drawn to him in intimacy, as we have seen his sovereign power and might that coupled with his marvelous, willing, and loving fatherly demeanor for Jesus' sake, as we trust his great provision, understanding we can do nothing, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, and the glory forever. And we are left concluding once again, confessing it all back to him and giving him the greatest reason to hear us, himself. In light of that, how can amen not be one of the most beautiful, encouraging, comforting, strengthening words we would say? It's true because of God. And of how God wants us to pray, emptying us of ourselves and seeing our full sufficiency in him. This is not presumption. What a foolish thing it would be to tell someone, don't pray the way God says. Even in the name of piety, that is simply foolishness and sin, tantamount to being like those who cause little ones to stumble. For them it will be better that they have anchors tied around them and they be thrown in the depths of the oceans. I do not say that lightly. That is not the power of rhetoric. That is the teaching of Christ. You may say, but we must come into him in faith. We must come to him in repentance. We must come to him in the name of Jesus. We must come to him in sincerity. Yes, indeed, of course. But the option then is not to not come. You must. You cannot, but you must. Our Lord Jesus will not leave you alone. He will put you in every way to force you to go to him and to trust his Father and not yourself, ever leaving you no room to continue in a way of unbelief, but to draw you to him, to come to him in repentance and faith. The structure of the Lord's Prayer demands amen be the true and right ending of this prayer, and the marvelous reliability and nature of our God in the fact that he cannot lie demands it. Because so much of this prayer is about him. And that is no accident. It should be our comfort, our security, our foundation, and our assurance. It should be our amen. Well, we'll consider lastly that we should pray as we ought with the word amen, not only because we are taught so by God and by the church and by our parents, and not only simply because it is true, but because we need to. Well, lastly, we ought to end our prayer amen because we need to. We need to. We are often so uncertain. We are so uncertain. We are prone to doubt. We have this overwhelming sense at times. Even the most advanced and apparently outwardly sure children of God, whether it is the weaknesses of our own flesh or the whisperings of the devil, we ask the question, is God there? Will God hear? Will he pay attention? Will he act? We're prone to weakness. We're prone to uncertainty and unbelief. Our uncertainty. We're told in James chapter 1, verse 6, says, prayer is described. But let him ask in faith. Asking here is prayer. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The Holy Spirit wouldn't put these words here if they didn't need to be said. In prayer, we waver. We are uncertain. We are all too often doubting. We doubt God because we forget he's a Father. We don't lift up his name. We forget it's his kingdom. We forget it's his rule. We forget that his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We somehow think he won't listen and we deny the truth of the prayer. We somehow think he doesn't have the power and we deny the truth of this prayer. We need instruction. We need reminders. We need to be certain. So he gives us a word to end our prayer, confessing certainty. Amen. And that's why James continues in chapter 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Child of God, when you pray only out of a sense of yourself and your need, if you ask, as it were, vainly and in an empty way, not focusing on God, to unfold bigger biblical categories like Philippians 4, not coming in thankfulness even amidst the trial, not coming in confession of sin even amidst your need, and not confessing the very sovereignty of God even amidst the weaknesses of your own heart, what is it you find? You flop like a fish on dry land. You find yourself like a wave in the ocean. But when you come following the pattern, calling him Father for Jesus' sake, remember his sovereign power, asking he be lifted up, praying for his will be done, acknowledging him in everything and trusting him for all things, are you all of a sudden still uncertain? No. The peace of God transcends all understanding, to use the language of Paul in Philippians 4. And the certainty of amen becomes your assurance, your comfort, and your hope, being directed out of yourself, out of your situation, to the fullness of the power and love of the Father for Jesus' sake. Praying amen, by the grace of God, gives us certainty, which we so greatly need as we battle against the flesh and the devil. But our uncertainty often is based in our weakness. As James chapter 1, verse 6 said, "But let him that ask, ask in faith, nothing wavering." Why do we waver? Because we are weak. Because we are weak. We should pray amen because of our weakness. Psalm 73, verse 26 is one beautiful example. "My flesh and my heart faileth." My flesh and my heart faileth. The strength of my body is as nothing. The power of my conviction, the mustering of my will, is as nothing. My flesh and my heart faileth. I'm weak. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God will be the strength of my life, and God is everything I need. He is my all-powerful Heavenly Father, who will give me what I need, who will forgive my sins, who will deliver me from the devil. It is my Heavenly Father to whom all the glory and the kingdom and the power belong. Amen. We find our strength, like the psalmist does, not in ourselves, but in Him. And we would be remiss to forget that so often the words of the psalms are not the words of the psalmist, but the words of our Lord Jesus. Whose words did He speak? The words of His Father. Whose work did He do? The work of His Father. Who was the source of His strength? His Heavenly Father. Everything was about His Heavenly Father. Even the way He did His miracles, we are told, are done by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, the provision of His Father, the one who sent the Spirit at His baptism. When our Lord Jesus tells us to pray this way, emptying us of anything of ourselves and to trust in God, it is the same experience, much different, but the same parallel experience of how He emptied Himself of all reputation and trusted in the supply of His Father. It's a beautiful thing to see your weakness so you find your strength in God. How often, child of God, in prayer, isn't you find those words of the Apostle Paul brought home to you? "When I am weak, then am I strong." We should pray amen because we are weak, and in Him we find our strength. But we need to pray amen, not only because we are so often uncertain, and so often uncertain because of our weakness, and we are so often weak because of our unbelief. We don't trust, we don't believe. Our prayers are often the very opposite of amen, sad to say. We find ourselves like the man in Mark chapter 9 who so greatly longs to have, as it were, his prayer answered and the healing take place. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." If you believe, if you trust, Jesus says, it will be sure. And what did that man say? Did he say, "I am sure, absolutely"? Did he say, "Oh, I'm not sure, so there's no hope"? It's as if the one prayer rolls over into another. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. What a powerful thing to understand that your uncertainty can lead to certainty, that your weakness must roll over into strength, that your unbelief can be encouraged to an assured belief, not because of self, not because of our accomplishments, not because of any change in circumstance, but because of God. Certainty in Him, strength in Him, faith and strong belief in Him. Or to put it all another way, amen. Amen. What a blessing to be able to say that little word. What wisdom to say it all the time. Boys and girls, older ones, amidst every challenge, amidst every struggle, amidst every praise, amidst every blessing, when you go to bed at night as you fall asleep, when you open a meal, when you close a meal, when you have family worship, when you have pressed out of you cries to God because of need, or you see something marvelous and you give amazing thanks, always end with that one blessed word. It doesn't make a difference how often you say it. It shouldn't get old. It shouldn't get repetitive. It's not vain. It's not empty. It's our source of comfort, our source of strength, our source of surety, our source of hope. It's truth, because it empties us of ourselves and follows the direction of our Savior according to His Heavenly Father and looks to God for everything. Truly is amen. It's beautiful in the wisdom God has given us to end this prayer. Would it be that we would end every prayer this way? Not just with the word, mind you, but with what the word teaches, what it signifies, what it means for us, what it means for God, and what an amazing encouragement we can take in the strange little word. We only use it certain times. But would it be our hope and our encouragement all the time? Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank Thee for our time through the Heidelberg Catechism. And as we come to our end of this cycle of the Lord's days and this end of our study of the Lord's Prayer, Lord, make it amen unto us, true and sure. Help us, Lord, at all times, in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our unbelief, to look to Thee, to cry to Thee, to find all in Thee, an all-powerful Heavenly Father, for the sake of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord. And would we in truth and in experience of heart pray amen. In Jesus' name, amen.